Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have tonight to just receive from your word. Lord, we ask that you speak into our hearts and lives, Lord, and do a work in us. Father, I just pray that the Spirit of the Lord would minister to each one, Lord, in a way that they can receive, Lord, and move on in the things of God and be all that you want them to be, Lord, to do all that you want them to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, anybody excited about Christmas? All right. Anybody excited about Jesus? All right. Man, this is a good crowd. Praise the Lord. Anybody healed? Anybody been saved, been set free? Anybody got victory in your life? The Lord's just done a great work in you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm in the right place. Jesus said in John 12, 32 and 33, "And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. In other words, he's talking about his death on the cross. He's talking about when he's lifted up on the cross. The scripture makes that very plain, and he says, that when he is lifted up, that he will draw all men to himself. Listen, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to accept him, but he's going to draw all men. Listen, he's the only one who died for those who believe in him. Buddha didn't. Muhammad didn't. Krishna didn't. None of the rest of them died for those who would believe in them. None of the rest of them rose from the dead either. Amen. But he is the one true God. He is the only one who died so that he could draw all men unto himself. It's one of the things that sets Jesus apart from all the phonies. But the principle is that when he is lifted up, he will draw people to himself. He's been lifted up on the cross already. But you know that there's a lot of people that really don't know. They really don't get it. They might have heard it a time or two, but statistics say that most people hear the gospel 7 times before they're born again. And there's a lot of people in our country that know a little bit about who Jesus is, but they need to see Jesus lifted up. They need to hear what we have to say. They need to hear our witness and our testimony. The principle is, though, is that when he's lifted up, in other words, when attention is drawn to Jesus, that he's going to draw people to himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read 1 and 2. Listen, so many people just want to draw attention to themselves or to a denomination, or to their ministry, or to some pet doctrine that they are hung up on. In fact, it's just kind of a common thing. So many, you know, they got this one thing that they think it's all about. Well, I'm that way too, I have to admit it. I got one thing I think it's Jesus. Well, he's not a thing, right? But it's about Jesus. I'm in good company here, because listen to what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." This world needs to hear about a crucified Savior, about one who died on the cross for them to take away their sin and their shame so that they could be reconciled to God, so that they could have a real relationship with God. And Paul says, I determined. See, he made up his mind. You need to make up your mind tonight. I determined not to know anything except Jesus and him crucified. You see, this is where so many believers make their mistake when they're going to talk to other people about the Lord. They end up talking about everything except Jesus and him crucified. Now, Paul was somebody, he could have talked about a lot of different things. He was an educated Roman citizen. He was a Pharisee. He knew the scriptures.
But he determined that he would just know this one thing among them: Jesus and him crucified. He made it all about Jesus. But you just read on from there. Verse 3, he says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So if you think that maybe you don't know all the right things to say, or that you're just a weak vessel and surely God couldn't use you, well, listen, Paul said it's not about those things. He said that his preaching just wasn't very good. But it's not about those things. I'm telling you, it's about the Spirit of God that's on you, that uses you, and that draws men when we lift up Jesus. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. And if we want to lift Jesus up, we need to understand it's not about our ability, but it's about God working through us. Just need to keep it simple. Here's the simple truth. It's about Jesus. Just need to lift up Jesus. You know, his name has such power. It's the one name that always causes a stir. Peter and John were told not to preach in that name anymore, because something happens when you start preaching in that name. Listen, in our government, in our school systems, we're told not to pray in that name. Well, just do it anyway. And Carmen was the elementary music teacher. I remember one Christmas, They didn't care if you did all these Christmas songs and talked about the Lord and God and Emmanuel, but if it says Jesus, you got to take that out and put Lord in instead, something. I mean, come on, don't they know what Emmanuel is? God with us. Call his name Emmanuel, just as long as you don't say Jesus, because that name has such power, it creates such a stir. And I'm telling you, we need to be lifting up that name all the time. Something supernatural happens when you lift up Jesus. He draws people. Some will reject him, but every time we bring him up, we lift him up, talk about the Lord, I really believe that people's attention is drawn to him. Amen. Some will reject him, but you just keep lifting him up. There's many in our country that have heard the gospel and don't want anything to do with it, at least not yet. But I'm telling you, the more that we lift him up, the more that it's going to bring them to a place of decision. It'll draw them, and they're either going to have to accept him or reject him. But we need to keep lifting up Jesus. That's our job. If we want to reach people, you got to lift up Jesus. If we want our loved ones to know him, you got to lift up Jesus. Christmas is such a setup for us. It's all about Jesus. And what a great opportunity for the Christian, for the believer, to share your faith, to just look for those little opportunities just to lift up Jesus, just to bring Jesus into the situation, into the equation, amen. There's a lot of situations that need Jesus in them, amen. Christmas is just a great opportunity for us to talk to people about the Lord. I want to remind you, it's not about a denomination or a preacher. It's not about a church or a ministry. It's about Jesus. Now, I hope you invite people to church. We need to invite people to church. But in our daily conversations, I'm telling you, we need to be lifting up Jesus, get people to look at Jesus. I don't like to talk about denominations. There's no denomination that has all truth. Listen,
Our focus needs to be on Jesus and not on anything else. What about this group? What about that one? What about Brother Big Shot? What about Jesus? Church, we just need to get this. I don't want to be labeled by anything else. I don't want anything else to tag me other than this one, that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's it. Well, yeah, but, you know, this group. Well, you know, I really like this group. I really like this preacher. What do you think about this preacher? Jesus. Let's just talk about Jesus. Listen, this is part of the reason of religious America why people aren't coming to Jesus is because so many believers are so hung up on this one and that one and this doctrine and that. And I'm telling you, the key is we just need to lift up Jesus. He's the only one that saves anybody. You know, Brother Big Shot didn't save anybody. It just reminds me so much of what Paul wrote the Corinthians about. Is Christ divided? Don't say, I'm of Paul and I'm of Cephas. Quit dropping those names. It's about Jesus. That's the name that matters. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that was lifted up on the cross. And he's the one who draws people. So if you're ever wondering what's really important, it's Jesus. That's it. I was talking to a neighbor one day some years ago about the Lord and invited him to come to church. He asked me about the church. He said, so what do y'all believe down there? I knew what he was looking for. He was looking for a way to label, a way to reject. I said, Jesus. We believe in Jesus. He didn't know what to say to that. And I'm just telling you, if people are going to reject Jesus, let it be because they reject Jesus, not because they reject some other issue that you got. Just keep lifting up Jesus. We need to realize for believers to divide is contrary to the plan and will of God and his prayer for his church. See, some people want to argue all the time about the Bible just like they do politics, just like they do over their favorite sports team. I think it is the most irreverent, unholy, ungodly thing to debate and argue over Scripture like some Pharisee. It's the holy word of God. It is not meant for believers to sit around and hack at each other and just go at it. What a reproach that is to the body of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we just swallow false doctrine and we accept. But I'm just telling you, you're not going to accomplish anything by fighting and arguing in the flesh. Listen to this from 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, ignorant, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord, say, that's me. Amen. Servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You see, here's the thing. You're not going to argue anybody into the kingdom. You're not going to quarrel with somebody and get them saved. But instead, if you'll just be gentle, if you'll be patient, and you just let God use you at the right time, God may give them repentance, and they'll escape. They'll come to their senses and escape that destruction. But I'm telling you, he says very plainly that the servant of the Lord is not supposed to quarrel. So don't let people engage you in foolish arguments.
There's some people you can help, and some you can't. But I can tell you this, you're not going to help them by arguing with them. Nothing good comes from a quarrel. So wait for the right time and gently instruct. We're especially not supposed to argue doctrine with religious people, because it doesn't matter if you win the argument. It's a fruitless endeavor. See, what people do with Jesus is what determines their eternity. And I want to encourage you tonight to shift your focus from a lot of this negative religious stuff and focus on this, that Jesus has been lifted up. This is the positive. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's just focus on Him. Forget all this religious stuff and let's just draw attention to Jesus. What people do with Jesus determines their eternity. Not what denomination they're part of, what church they're part of, that's not going to matter. They say, oh, brother, now they can't be part of that church and go to heaven. You better leave that to God. I can tell you there are people in every church that aren't going to heaven. But I'm just telling you, here's where the real issue is. It's what they do with Jesus. Whether or not people believe in raising their hands in worship, whether or not people believe in divine healing, whether or not people believe in tongues, listen, none of that's going to send people to hell or not. What's going to determine who goes to hell is whether or not they've received Jesus. That's what's really important. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. Get weird religious people. Keeps people from coming to Jesus. You got some of these nuts out there who say, well, if you didn't speak in tongues, you hadn't really received all of God there is, so you've rejected part of me, so you're going to hell. Well, you know, if you wasn't baptized in a tub like I was, then you're not really saved. Well, Jesus wasn't baptized in a tub either. I'm just telling you, people get hung up on the weirdest stuff and want to argue about, and let me just backtrack here just for a second. I'll clarify. I'm not saying that doctrine's not important. I'm not saying that none of those things matter at all. But I'm talking about if we want to win people to Jesus, we need to keep the main thing and lift up Jesus and quit arguing with people over religious doctrine. See, some people are going to reject Him. But let Him reject Him. Or let them refuse to come to our church because they reject Jesus, not because of other stuff. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. We've read this passage a couple of times in the last few months, but man, is it good if you want to reach people. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. Though I am free from all men, free from all men. Nobody has control over me. Nobody's telling me what to do. He says, I'm free from all men. He says, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Listen, Paul wasn't going to let anything else keep somebody from coming to Jesus. That's why he kept his message simple. That's why he lifted up the Lord Jesus. He determined not to know anything except Jesus and Him crucified. I want to say this one more time. Nobody got saved because they got out-argued. How many of you came to the Lord because somebody beat you in an argument and you just finally, you know, they just, I mean, their argument was so good, you were just like, well, I better get saved then. You convinced, nobody gets saved that way. No, they get saved when they hear the word and faith comes in their heart and they believe. But when you argue with people, you put them on this adversarial relationship where they can't receive from you. That's good preaching. Just lift up Jesus. Be gentle. Be kind. In the right way, you instruct. God can use you. I overheard a believer arguing with an unbeliever one night. It was in a Target. And they were arguing with this unbeliever over whether or not they drank real wine in the Bible. Some of you want to argue about it right now. Because some of you are thinking, yeah, it was real. And some of you are thinking, whoa, that wasn't real wine. Y'all can all duke it out in the foyer after the service. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I knew that unbeliever was not going to get saved that night. Because the focus was all on, well, they did drink real wine. No, it wasn't real wine. It didn't have any alcohol on it. Yes, it did. Nobody's getting saved tonight. I'm just telling you, you need to keep the focus on Jesus. And you know, just like they did with Jesus, people will try to get you down some other path. Just keep bringing it back to Jesus. You know, in our country right now, you get a lot of this. You know, talk about the Lord. You know, how are you doing in your relationship with God? Where are you in Jesus? Well, you know, church people did this to me. Wait a minute. Not church people. What about Jesus? See, a lot of people right now, they're like, oh, well, church people, all those hypocrites down there. Listen, just keep bringing them back to Jesus. What is it about Jesus you don't like? How much more powerful and effective our witness is when we just remember we are witnesses of Him to tell what He has done in our lives. John 15:26 says, when the Helper comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. Even the Holy Spirit, He testifies of Jesus. Amen. How does He do that? Well, it's through us. He testifies of Jesus. And when we've received the Spirit, Jesus said that we would have power to be witnesses of Him, not arguers of doctrine, but witnesses of Him. You know, when you lift up Jesus, things happen. Some people get glad, some people get mad, but I'm telling you, if you lift up Jesus, things will happen. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, some people take that to mean that we're supposed to go around being in conflict with everybody over everything. Paul said, as much as is possible, live at peace with all men. What Jesus is talking about is that His name alone will divide. Don't divide with people over anything else. That name alone is what you divide over. Some reject Him and some will accept Him, and that's going to determine where we go for eternity. And certainly in that culture, in that Jewish culture, when people accepted the Lord and they were put out of their families, and you know what? That still happens in a lot of places in the world. But here in our country, it seems like we just focus on the silliest, pettiest things. I'm not going to let it go yet. But we just need to remember this, that Jesus is the main thing. That's what we all have in common, Jesus. If people believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins and rose again, then they're our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And when believers talk about the Lord, they should talk about
listen, certainly we should talk about the Lord in a way that is lifting up the true God. And I know that I've kind of hit this hard tonight about just lifting up Jesus, but those of you that have listened to me preach for several years at least, you know how much I believe it's important that people know the one true God, not some made-up God. So I'm not saying that doctrinal truth is not important tonight. They need to know the real God and the real Jesus. But what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that we need to get away from this thing where people always arguing about their pet doctrine and stuff. Instead, we just need to lift up Jesus. You get two Christians together from two different churches, and you know what they do? They find the doctrine where they disagree. I mean, they might agree on 100 other things, but they immediately go to the one where they disagree. So what do y'all believe about that? Here we go. And then we wonder why the world's not coming. We just need to lift up Jesus. It amazes me when you get Christians together, they can always find their differences instead of finding the things that we all have in common and the things that are really important. Do you know they don't do that in foreign countries where Christians are persecuted? Come on now. I mean, in Iraq, in China, you go to some foreign country where Christians are persecuted, they don't go, now what denomination are you and what do y'all believe? No, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord who died for your sins, we are brothers because they are out to get us, to kill us. We're brothers. Not here, in this country. Now what do y'all believe about this? We get them every week. Somebody calls, somebody sends an email, and they call, you know, what do you believe about my pet doctrine? Now I want to know, you know, what you believe about my pet doctrine. Jonathan usually gets those calls, those emails, and, you know, they start talking about dispensations and all kinds of weird theological terminology, and sometimes he just emails them back and says, I don't know what that is. It's great. And I say, son, you don't want to know. Jesus, Jesus. Listen, if I'm rubbing you the wrong way tonight, well, maybe you need to turn around. Just saying. Believers can be so petty. See, some of you are thinking about your pet doctrine right now. You're thinking, I wonder what he believes about this. Division in the church is one of the main reasons, main things that keeps people from believing in Jesus. So one of the world's most valid criticism of the church is the strife and division in the body of Christ. Listen to what Jesus prayed, John 17, 20 and 21. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That includes us, amen? That they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Why do we have to be one? That the world may believe that you sent me. He says the same thing again, two verses later. That the world may believe that you sent me. You want to talk about doctrine? Here's a horrible doctrine. So damaging to the cause of Christ. That it's okay to have strife and division in the body of Christ. What a lie from the pit of hell. That's why we just focus on Jesus. Keep lifting up Jesus. We might disagree on some things, but I'll tell you what. If you're a believer in Jesus, we got a lot more in common than not. We got the same Father. We got the same Lord. We've been washed in the same blood, born of the same Spirit. We're going to spend eternity in the same place. And when we get over there, they're not going to have the Baptist section and the Charismatic section and the Catholic section and the more. Listen, they're not going to be any of that stuff. Everybody wants to talk about, New Testament church. New Testament church, they had the Church of Burleson, and that was it. They had one church. Well, I don't know if I like that church. I'm going to find me another. Preacher made me mad tonight talking about all that stuff. Let's talk about Jesus. Lift him up and he'll draw all men to himself. The lost, the hurting, the broken, the bound, those that society cast aside, those that others have given up on, I'm telling you, Jesus will draw them. Don't let the focus shift to anything else. Keep the focus on Jesus. See, Satan will always keep trying to turn the focus to religion. Just keep the focus on Jesus. Keep pointing to Jesus. Two or three gather in his name, he says, there am I in the midst. He is to be the center of attention. It is Jesus that changes lives. So, I got to tell you, somebody very special will be here tomorrow night. Jesus. I don't know. I know it's cliche, but, you know, if we announce this. Well, let's just go back to this one. Brother Big Shot will be here this Sunday. Oh, Brother Big Shot's going to be there. I got to get my friend to come. Brother Big Shot's going to be there. You know what that tells me? People don't believe that Jesus actually shows up when two or three gather in his name. Brother Big Shot is funny. Listen, I'm not saying that God can't use humor, but humor ain't what saves people. It's Jesus and the message, the simple gospel message of Jesus Christ is what saves people. And a lot of the time, the issue isn't that they don't believe, it's that believers don't really believe that Jesus will be here. The power of the Lord is present to heal. Bring the sick. Tomorrow night, we're going to be lifting up Jesus, and he will draw all men. Religion says, this is real popular in our culture right now. Religion says you need to repackage him. You need to dress him up. You know, don't just lift him up. You got to hype it a little bit, you know, add some humor and some cool music. Doesn't save anybody. In fact, I got to tell you tonight, all this I'm talking about lifting Jesus up and getting other stuff out of the way, but I'm just kind of not really there with the whole seeker-sensitive thing because, listen, we might could get some people to come if we advertise we got 15 of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are going to come share their testimony Sunday. But I just got to tell you, listen, it's Jesus. If it's not Jesus that gets them, they're not really saved. And I've seen them where 100 come down and get saved, and the next Sunday, none of them were in church. They didn't get much saved going on, I'm just telling you. They go right back to their same old life, living the same old way. No, you see, we need to keep the focus on Jesus, not on any of the trimmings. We don't need to repackage it. Jesus and him crucified. So if you want to see God move, you lift Jesus up. You want your family to change, you lift Jesus up. You want to see the lost come, you lift Jesus up. Lift him up in your conversation. I know his name is used as a byword, as a swear word, but we need to use that name in our conversations, the love of our life. That's right, we need to talk about him and speak that name in reverence, but speak it often. You know, we talk too much. Now listen, I want you to understand what I'm saying.
Small talk is fine. I see that in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, where he found some common ground to start a conversation with somebody. But he was always going somewhere. We talk too much about politics and the weather and the Cowboys, way too much about the Cowboys. But too much about this and this and this, and not enough about Jesus. How we need to lift up Jesus. Talk about something that matters for eternity. Suppose that how much you talk about him was the proof of how much you love him. Well, I'm not saying that God's up there in heaven counting how many times you said the name Jesus today to see if you love him. But if we really love him, shouldn't we be talking about him and lifting him up? Luke 9:26, Jesus said, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Don't be ashamed of the one who died on the cross for you. One of my peeves that gets on my nerves is name droppers. You know, they got to tell you about, well, they know Brother Big Shot, you know. He's been over to their house. Name droppers. But there's one name we ought to be dropping. None of the other names even matter compared to that name. Jesus. Demons tremble. Such power in that name. That name, Jesus, can bring peace in the middle of a storm to a troubled soul. Jesus can change the course of a conversation. Oh, it's amazing how when people are being vulgar, using profanity, and somebody starts talking about Jesus, how all of a sudden they get quiet. I had a guy get real mad at me one day at the gym. I guess I did, you know, I don't talk much, period, at the gym. I don't go there to talk. I go there to work out. I don't go there to hang out. I go and work out and I'm done. But I guess when I am there, maybe I should talk more about Jesus, because one guy got really mad at me one day because he was all the time using profanity around me. And then he found out, his wife knew my wife, and he found out I was a preacher. And he said, "I can't believe you didn't tell me that you were a preacher. All that stuff I said." He was actually mad at me, though. See, if we're having a conversation with somebody, we need to use that name. But I'm just telling you, that name has such power in it. It can change the course of a conversation. You know, tomorrow night, every time we come to praise the Lord, that's what we're doing, is we're lifting up the name of Jesus. We're praising him. We're extolling him. We're magnifying and glorifying him. That's what praise is. It's not about singing some songs. It's the singing. And I know that, the music at Grace Church is really, really good. But I've seen it where it got so much so that the attention was focused on the music instead of Jesus. We're not ever going to let that happen. It is all about Jesus. He's the one that matters. And we just want to keep lifting him up. Part of the key to that is that we don't have musicians and singers that try to draw attention to themselves, but just direct it to Jesus. And we lift him up. We lift him up in our conversation. We lift him up in our praise. We lift him up by the way that we live our lives. Obviously, if you're talking about Jesus, you better be living the life. If you're talking about Jesus, I think it's one of the reasons people don't talk about Jesus more, is they're not really living for Jesus. But I'm just telling you,
This is one of the ways that we lift him up, is by living the life that he's called us to, making him the priority of our life. Let me tell you something. If you want to lift Jesus up before people that know you, then you let them know, hey, I got to be at church. Y'all got real quiet on me. That's good preaching, though. I'm just telling you. I mean, if going to worship Jesus is like way down here on your priority list, you're not lifting him up. You need to lift him up and tell people, man, I got to go to church. I got to go worship the Lord. God is first in my life. That's lifting him up, making him a priority. Not the dollar, not your hobby, not your religion, not anything else. Just Jesus. One last passage, Matthew 5. 14 through 16. We've read it several times lately. You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. We're the light of the world. We need to be pointing the way to Jesus and let our good works direct people to the Father. They'll see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Lifting him up in every way that you can. Lift him up. Just keep lifting him up. You just never know who you might have an impact on, who you might make an impression on. I'll let you go after this. Jonathan, when he was the band director in Houston, put his Bible on his desk. Well, one day, he had a bad car wreck. And so an insurance adjuster from the other people's insurance came to see Jonathan. And he had to step out of the office for a moment when she first got there to go take care of something with the students or something. And he came back, and the woman was sitting there reading his Bible that she had found on his desk. I don't know how she found it. That was a miracle in itself, if you've ever seen his desk. Looks just like mine. That apple didn't fall from the tree there, you know. But she's reading his Bible, and he comes in, and then, you know, he shows her what happened in the accident. He had a computerized thing on his computer to show her where the cars went and everything. But you know what? I believe somehow or another, God just did something in her heart, and they paid totally for his car and everything and rental car and all that. Now, I'm not trying to get you to lift up Jesus with false motives, but the world, and sometimes even religious people, have put this fear tactic on you, like, oh, well, you know, if you say anything about the Lord, if you carry your Bible, if you do this, you know, there's going to be repercussions. Yeah, you might just get blessed because God is bigger than the devil. But even if you are persecuted, that's time to get happy that you've been counted worthy. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are you when they persecute you. So don't be afraid of the consequences of lifting up Jesus. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. And I'm not talking about being obnoxious or being rude to lift up Jesus, but I'm talking about that we're not ashamed of him, that we look for the opportunity to lift him up and to bring the focus to Jesus. It's amazing how many people would love Jesus if we just get all the other stuff out of the way. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Lord, I just pray tonight that you help us to do this very thing, Lord, to lift you up. Lord, to truly be witnesses of you, how good you've been to us, Lord. Lord, how blessed we are. And Lord, how much you deserve, Lord, our undying service.
Lord, that every day of our life we would live to please you and to exalt you, to glorify you in our lives. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would just cause us to be bold. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would ignite in us a fresh fire, Lord, to speak to people, to talk to people about Jesus, to invite somebody to church. Lord, use us. May we lift up Jesus. And Lord, we're believing that you will draw them. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. I love you. If you need prayer tonight, we'd be glad to pray with you. Lord bless you.